Welcome to the Sermon Podcast from St. Andrew's Lutheran Church in Columbia, Missouri. Here are this week's scripture readings and the sermon.
Our first reading today is from the 8th chapter of Acts. An angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Get up and go toward the south, to the road that goes from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a wilderness road." So he got up and went. Now there was an Ethiopian eunuch, a court official of the Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, in charge of her entire treasury. He had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning home seated in his chariot. He was reading the prophet Isaiah. Then the Spirit said to Philip, "Go over to this chariot and join it." So Philip ran up to it and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah. He asked, "Do you understand what you are reading?" He replied, "How can I unless someone guides me?" And he invited Philip to get in and sit beside him. Now the passage of the scripture that he was reading was this: "Like a sheep he was led to the slaughter, and like a lamb silent before its shearer, so he does not open his mouth. In his humiliation, justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation? For his life is taken away from the earth." The eunuch asked Philip, "About whom, may I ask you, does the prophet say this, or about himself or about someone else?" Then Philip began to speak, starting with this scripture. He proclaimed to him the good news about Jesus. As they were going along the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, "Look, here is water. What is to prevent me from being baptized?" He commanded the chariot to stop. And both of them, Philip and the eunuch, went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord snatched Philip away, and the eunuch saw him no more, and went on his way rejoicing. But Philip found himself at Azotus, and he was passing through the region. He proclaimed the good news to all the towns until he came to Caesarea. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Please join me in reading Psalm 22 responsively. "From you comes my praise in the great assembly. I will perform my vows in the sight of those who fear the Lord.
The poor shall eat and be satisfied. Let those who seek the Lord give grace. May your hearts live forever.
All the ends of the earth shall remember and turn to the Lord. All the families of nations shall bow before God.
For to me belongs
indeed, all who sleep in the earth shall bow down in worship. All who go down to the dust, though they be dead, shall kneel before the Lord.
Their descendants shall serve the Lord, whom they shall proclaim to generations to come.
They shall proclaim God's deliverance to a people yet unborn, saying to them, 'The Lord has acted.'" Our second reading comes from 1 John. "Beloved, let us love one another, because love is from God. Everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, for God is love. God's love was revealed among us in this way: God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Beloved, since God loved us so much, we ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him, and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father has sent his Son as the Savior of the world. God abides in those who confess that Jesus is the Son of God, and they abide in God. So we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love, and those who abide in love abide in God, and God abides in them. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness on the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in the world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not reached perfection in love. We love because he first loved us. Those who say, "I love God," and hate their siblings are liars. For those who do not love a sibling whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. The commandment we have from him is this: those who love God must love their siblings also. Word of God, word of life.
The Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus said, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. He removes every branch in me that bears no fruit. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes to make it bear more fruit. You have already been cleansed by the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me as I abide in you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me, you can do nothing. Whoever does not abide in me is thrown away like a branch and withers. Such branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me, my words abide in you, ask for whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples." The Gospel of the Lord. Last week, the church heard how Jesus sees, welcomes, and includes everyone. Indeed, this promise comes particularly for those who experience typically exclusion. This week, the church hears Jesus continue his teaching moment with the disciples. In fact, this teaching moment comes that last night before his betrayal. Remember that it all started with Jesus washing the feet of his disciples and giving them a new commandment to love one another as he has loved them. Then he promises that the Holy Spirit, the advocate, who will teach them everything they couldn't yet understand. And he promises to prepare a place for his disciples because he's going away. After that, there were so many questions from the disciples. It was all so distressing. So when Jesus turns the corner today, telling his disciples that he is the vine and his Father is the vine dresser, actually, let's read and hear these first verses again. Listen for the promises for you. "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. He removes every branch in me that bears no fruit. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes to make it bear more fruit.
You have already been cleansed by the word that I have spoken to you. You have already been cleansed. Jesus has done the work, and as he prepares for all that comes next, he gives this assurance to his disciples. In whatever ways disciples today reel from what life keeps throwing at them, this promise is sure. You have already been cleansed. Every branch the Father intends to bear fruit and works to help it bear more fruit. Jesus, the vine, nourishes disciples, you and me, for a purpose. These promises propel the faithful into life and purpose. How does this happen? Jesus continues, "Abide in me as I abide in you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me, you can do nothing." The fruit that disciples produce has a source. The faithful live in a reciprocal relationship with the Lord. Abiding in Jesus produces that fruit, and Jesus abiding in disciples nourishes them for their activity. In Luther's explanation of the third article of the Creed, he notes that we cannot believe in Jesus or come to him without the work and the movement of the Holy Spirit, without God, Creator, Redeemer, and Sanctifier, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we can do nothing. Living in Jesus and listening for Jesus living in us so aligns us with God and with God's desire for the world that our prayers will be God's wishes. With all this, one might wonder if this metaphor, what does God need from each one of us today? In daily life, in the world. Of course, Jesus told his disciples that the answer is love. In the first letter of John, the author writes, "God is love." So one might do well to live into that commandment that Jesus has already given to his disciples on that night. Love one another as I have loved you. Remember that God's love nourishes and empowers us to care for others. In the reality of this world, love seems so simple. Yet love challenges everyone to live in respect, to live in care for, and to live out concern for all those around us. Love acts in ways that attend to the needs of others. Love responds to the world focused outward rather than inward. Love seeks the well-being of the neighbor, near and far. May the love of God so strengthen each one of us that we change the world by our presence in the world and in our relationships with everyone.
Thank you for listening. You are welcome to join St. Andrew's Lutheran Church in Columbia, Missouri for worship any weekend. More information can be found at saintandrewslutheran.org. That's saintandrewslutheran.org. Have a glorious week.